Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Roland Chris Blog Talk Radio Station, Pathways to Excellence, where we explore what it takes to meet and exceed the demands of managing a retirement plan in today's complex market. From regulatory developments to fiduciary news and practical tips, tune in to Roland Chris for your step-by-step guide to achieving compliance and confidence in a new fiduciary era. Now, let's begin today's show with an introduction from our Roland Chris host.
Welcome to our audience for this podcast on the Pathways to Excellence channel, sponsored by Roland Chris. Hi, I'm Ron Hagen. I'm chairman of the Fiduciary Standards Committee at Roland Chris, and I am the host of today's live 15-minute podcast. Our subject today is going to focus on retirement plans that are qualified under the Employee Retirement Income Security Act, and our session is titled Staying Ahead of the Regulatory Tide. During our last podcast, we discussed the changing landscape as it relates to healthcare, the impact of trends on leaders and strategic area managers. Our experts from the legal community defined a pathway for the future, talking about the effect of ERISA's fee disclosure law is having on retirement plan decision makers with a carryover to today's podcast. And with me today in the studio is our guest, Christine Denton, who is Senior Vice President and Head of Roland Chris's Risk Practice Group. She has over 13 years of experience with Roland Chris, and she's conducted risk management assessments of retirement plans in both the commercial and nonprofit sectors. Christine has served as an expert witness in disputes representing defendant positions in breach of fiduciary duty cases. And during an earlier assignment with Roland Chris, Christine personally conducted on-site or supervised over 150 assessments of candidates for fiduciary certifications issued by the Center for Fiduciary Excellence. And she conducted those assessments in the U.S., Canada, Australia, and New Zealand. Christine earned a bachelor's degree in finance from Baylor University. She's certified by the Investment Fiduciary Leadership Council as a certified foundation fiduciary specialist. She also holds a designation from the Center for Fiduciary Studies, the Accredited Investment Fiduciary Analyst designation, and she's also held securities licenses. So I'm glad we could tear her away from her busy schedule to be a guest speaker on today's podcast. Christine, welcome. We're really happy to have you with us today.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Christine, I think in light of the limitations of time today, I'd like to go ahead and dive right into our material. And the U.S. Department of Labor's regulatory pattern has changed. We've all seen that. In fact, some say dramatically when the law known as the Fee Disclosure Rule for Retirement Plan Sponsors was enacted in 2012. Before we go too far in discussing the impact of that law and trends that have emerged, could you tell our audience what that law is and who is affected by it?
Sure. That's a great place to start, Ron. The law offers a critical exemption from trouble for retirement plan sponsors. Obtaining the exemption is not automatic, and it's not easy for the unskilled or inexperienced. But the exemption is necessary because ERISA does not allow and actually prohibits vendors from being paid from retirement plan assets. And this is commonly referred to as a prohibited transaction. A vast majority of executives that manage ERISA plans aren't aware of that, but the good news is that the prohibition is turned over if the plan sponsor follows an approved procedure. Let's talk a second about who the law affects. The title of the law can be misleading. Any law that uses the words fee disclosure to define it gives the impression that it was made just for sellers and not buyers, but nothing could be further from the truth. Retirement plan sponsors are the buyers of services that plan participants pay for, and it's the buyers, not the sellers, that are most directly and seriously affected by this law.
That's a good place, I think, to pause for a second. I wonder if you could just tell our audience what you mean by that.
Sure. The fee disclosure law defines and really broad terms, a procedure that must be performed by plan fiduciaries in order for their retirement plan to qualify for the prohibited transaction exemption that I mentioned a minute ago. The failure to obtain the exemption can result in severe financial penalties both for the plan fiduciaries and their employers. So while vendors are required to fully disclose their fees in writing to their clients or face penalties, vendors are far more sophisticated about the law and have been careful to do what's required of them. The very opposite is true among retirement plan sponsors. And based on recent enforcement trends, any plan sponsor that has not yet conducted and documented its procedure for meeting its legal obligation under that fee disclosure law is really sitting on a regulatory time bomb.
Christine, a few minutes ago, you said that doing what the law requires is not easy for the unskilled and inexperienced. And I guess it's safe to assume, at least I did, that you were alluding to the people who are responsible for managing retirement plans. And by that I mean the fiduciaries of the plan. So in everyday terms, what is the intent of the fee disclosure law?
Well, on scores of occasions, I've witnessed how managing a retirement plan's compliance with the law can really drain chief financial officers and human resource managers of their time, their money, their resources, and at the end of the day, still leave them exposed to a serious legal liability. And a lot of that really has to do with the procedure that takes into account factors that are not obvious on the surface, and the law itself contributes to that. Here's what I mean about that. The fee disclosure law intends to produce two outcomes. The first would be that the U.S. Department of Labor wants vendors to reveal all of their sources of income. And the idea here is that buyers of retirement services will be better able to control plan costs if they understand how vendors get paid. And really, that's a perfectly valid justification for the law, because many retirement plan vendors have a history of not revealing all of their compensation sources, some of which were embedded in conflicted arrangements. Now, this is bad for plan participants and really dangerous for plan fiduciaries, because they, not their vendors, are responsible for what participants pay for record keeping, investment funds, third-party administration services, and things of that nature. Secondly, the law requires that plan sponsors are to determine if vendors' fees are reasonable. The fee disclosure law leaves plan sponsors to figure out on their own what that term reasonable means, and therein lies the trap. Merely comparing one vendor's fees in a service category, such as record keeping, to, say, another vendor's fees in that same category does not alone qualify as a test of reasonableness. If that's all there was to it, every retirement plan sponsor would just, you know, drop their current providers and hire only the lowest cost vendor in each category and be done with it. But the law doesn't allow for that. Instead, the quality of service delivered by a vendor is much more important in the equation than the actual compensation they receive. And since purchasing retirement plan services is a specialized procurement activity, very few executives and managers have training in how to equate the quality of services their employees receive to the amount of fees their employees pay. And that's the catch is nearly all ERISA plan sponsors that we have had experience with.
Boy, that's a lot to take into consideration if I'm a plan sponsor. Christine, I think you're suggesting then that retirement plan sponsors are at an important disadvantage when hiring vendors. If that's right, is that something that the Department of Labor has indicated as well, or is that merely something that you are concluding from your own experience at this point?
No, I think you're on the right track there. The Department of Labor has been very clear about that. Before the fee disclosure was introduced a couple of years ago, the DOL actually released a report that revealed its attitude toward vendors. The report said plan sponsor and vendor relationships are characterized by acute information lopsidedness in favor of vendors, and that's because the information costs of vendors are far lower than their clients.
Hmm. The Department of Labor seems then to be concerned about an information gap, the gap that separates vendors from the people who buy their services. In your opinion, then, what's behind the DOL's concern about that?
Well, actually, the DOL's report was issued in July of 2010, which was nearly 2 years before the law actually took effect. And the report contains some pretty blunt language that every plan sponsor really should take the time to read. But The DOL begins the report by saying that vendors are specialists in the design of their products, their services, and their compensation arrangements, and they're continually engaged in marketing to plan sponsors. Plan sponsors often lack this degree of specialization. Even in very large, relatively sophisticated environments, plan sponsors are shopping for services only periodically and really generally once every 3 to 5 years. And then you get into the smaller, less sophisticated plan market, and sponsors there are facing still even higher information costs. So as a result, vendors are able to maintain an information advantage over their plan sponsor clients. In addition to that, the DOL said that vendors have a strong incentive to use their information advantage to distort these market outcomes in their own favor. And vendors can reap access to profit by concealing their indirect compensation, which also has associated conflicts of interest from their clients. And this would make their prices appear lower and their product quality higher.
Since the DOL obviously thinks that vendors have this information advantage over retirement plan clients, and the DOL is suggesting that vendors use it for their own benefit, as you've indicated. What's the DOL's attitude then toward plan sponsors from an enforcement standpoint?
Well, you know, even though it may seem unfair, especially in light of the DOL's attitude toward vendors, the DOL has really made it very clear who it holds responsible, and this is the critical part. Current ERISA rules hold plan sponsors rather than vendors accountable for evaluating the cost and quality of those plan services.
Boy, that's an important fact for plan sponsors to grasp. For those that do, I guess it's safe to imagine that there are many, even those in our audience today, that may be thinking differently about their vendors than in the past. From what you can tell, is the law yet affecting buyer-seller relationships, and if so, in what ways?
Yes, we're actually seeing that quite a bit. Due to the complex nature of vendor fee structures and service models within the retirement plan industry, it's often difficult to know exactly what fees are being charged for which services, as well as from where those fees are being extracted. As a result, we're seeing risk audits that are examining vendors' fees on the rise. And this is a particularly enlightening discovery that can be made during a fee disclosure audit, where plan sponsors can learn the ratio of employer-paid fees versus plan-paid fees. We find that many plan sponsors assume that their vendor fees are taken exclusively from the pocket of the company, but there are many arrangements that generate vendor payment directly from the plan assets, and this translates to a reduced amount of investable assets for the plan sponsor participants, as I'm sure you can surmise. But two of the most valuable takeaways of a fee disclosure audit can be a new understanding of the vendor's pricing schemes and then gaining the knowledge needed to challenge unbalanced or unfair plan paid fees.
You mentioned earlier that plan fiduciaries are not required to hire the lowest cost vendors. Instead then of focusing on vendors' fees alone, you indicated that analyzing service quality is equally, if not more important. But that sounds like a pretty tough job because the quality of service can be such a subjective question to answer. Is there anything out there now or anything coming on the horizon in the way of a tool that can help plan sponsors with that challenge?
Well, Ron, fortunately, the answer is yes. We are currently using what we feel is a revolutionary tool in our own fee disclosure audits. It produces a score that assesses a particular vendor's performance against qualitative measures. The audit provides plan sponsors with an objective analysis of their vendors' fees based on a scientific calculation of value. And with this calculation, plan sponsors not only are able to view fee trends over a certain amount of time, but they're equipped with the knowledge of whether their vendors' fees are reasonable. This in-depth analysis virtually has never been available to the plan sponsor market prior to the fee disclosure rule, and we're seeing that it really changes the way plan sponsors select and monitor their vendors.
Okay, we've talked quite a bit about the impact on the plan sponsor side of the aisle, the buyer side of the aisle, and the changes in procurement practices that you're beginning to see. What's been the reaction of the vendor market to all of this?
Well, this is a really interesting outcome that we have witnessed recently since the law was enacted. But we've seen many vendors cut their fees before they've even even asked by their clients to do so. In some cases, but not many, we've even seen vendors actually increase the level of services they offer their clients without raising their fees. That can actually be a better situation for participants in those plans than if fees were just reduced while services were left unimproved. But plan sponsors need to remember that the law merely requires that costs for retirement plan services need only to be reasonable, not just the lowest available. And really the key issue there is value, not price.
Well, that's a great description of the effect on both sides of the aisle, and we're coming up to the point of closing shortly on our podcast, our time together. So in closing, what I'd like to do is to ask you, how do responsible plan fiduciaries avoid then being a Department of Labor fee disclosure enforcement statistic?
That's a great way to look at that. Actually, the fee disclosure law requires plan fiduciaries to take three action steps, and these are actually codified. But first, they need to verify that they've received the appropriate disclosures from their vendors. Once those vendor disclosures have been received, then they would need to examine the disclosures to ensure that they're adequate for their use under the law. And in other words, that means, are the disclosures easy to understand? And then third, they would need to determine by a formal documented process that the fees are provided, that the fees that have been provided within the disclosure are reasonable or fair given the services that have been rendered. That first step, verifying the receipt of a vendor's fee report, is the only step most plan sponsors have historically performed. Items 2 and 3, examining vendor reports for ease of use and then using a formal procedure to test the reasonableness of the fees, have been virtually non-existent across the board. An annual audit of the vendor fees and arrangements by a licensed fiduciary risk management firm, a certified training course, or a combination of the two can provide plan sponsors with the confidence and peace of mind they need to successfully move forward under this new rule and be ready when the DOL comes calling.
Well, those are good insights, Christine, and I really do thank you and appreciate your taking the time to be our guest today on the podcast. We're just about out of time. And for our audience, we thank you for joining us, and also I'd like to issue a reminder to you to tune in to our next podcast when we will cover governance, risk management, and compliance strategies for all of your employee benefit plans. So thank you all for joining us, and have a great day.